Bob, this is a disaster. The Pirates have fallen to 11-19. We're going to get into that in a moment. But first, just a scary night, dangerous night, terrible night or afternoon, late afternoon, whatever you want to call it around here. I mean, hearts go out to people who have been affected deeply by this. I mean, I think there were a couple of
deaths, including one guy who got electrocuted.
Oh my God.
I just can't even imagine. So you're right, Joe. And anytime you see this, I always say it could be worse no matter who you are. And if you're in a situation where you don't have power, you can't do whatever, okay, it's going to last for a few days maybe. Get it in your head, be patient, and deal with it, because that's what you got to do in these situations.
Just crazy. My daughter, who only has had her license for a couple of weeks, was out in it. It was sunny when she left the mall. She's coming home. I'm already at home. And all of a sudden, it just whipped up out of nowhere.
That's
and she's
fast.
Like, there's like trees falling apart near me, and she couldn't get home, so I'm freaking out. And then finally she pulled over into a parking lot, and then they cleared stuff out and she got home. But that type of scene was happening all over. Limits sent us the front of your house.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, the tree just got uprooted of 150 years of growth.
I could not believe what I saw. And the crazy thing about it is, so we had this huge walnut tree that's probably, I don't know, 10 feet from where our front porch is, where the end of our front porch is. And I was just sitting in one of the side rooms and doing some work, and saw the wind start howling, hear the winds, can hear sticks that are flying all over the place. I hear a chair blow off my front porch, and I heard it like hit the grass. And I was like, I might as well look outside and see what happened. And I look outside and see our walnut tree that's been there forever in our driveway. And
so did you see it actually being uprooted, or did you see the aftermath?
I didn't see it fall at all. Oh. I didn't see it fall. I didn't hear it fall.
Could it have fallen on your house?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That was crazy.
By the glory of God, it fell in the perfect spot.
Wow.
Like, legitimately, because it could have fell towards the street, and that would have been obviously better, not towards the driveway. Thankfully, there's no damage there. But because of where the house is and the way that the winds blow, that's just naturally where it would have went. So I don't like to say luck was involved. We're a huge faith-based family, so God was protecting us.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully a lot of people are doing okay today. And I know that coming here, I drove past the McDonald's down here on, is it Noblestown Road?
Yes.
You should have seen the line of people.
I did.
I couldn't get
because
by.
Because I couldn't get into any other place that I tried to go to.
Nothing was open.
No. There was a Dunkin' Donuts down in Carnegie. There's a coffee shop. Some other, like, four places. And then I said, all right, McDonald's, I'll head over there. And you're right, the line is halfway down Noblestown Road. It's incredible.
No, and it just so happens, too, this is the time where you go shopping the day before, you know, buy all this stuff, meat, fish, everything else. And now it could be who knows how long.
Yeah.
So my wife and I had to get that stuff out of there and take it someplace else to one of our relatives.
Just crazy, crazy stuff. All right, Bob. So, otherwise, doing well?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, too, about that. That came in, and you never thought the Pirates were going to play, but it was such a fast-moving.
Yeah, and then at the end, you wish they hadn't.
You're right. Then you talk about disasters. They lead the majors in one category here, Joe and Austin, and that would be most teams, most shutouts. They've been shut out five times more than any other team.
So I don't take any morbid, like, joy in this, and we haven't mentioned it in about a week. And I know that Shelty himself thought I asked him about his job security too much last year. But what are we doing here? Whether we think moving on from him would solve anything or not, what are we doing? They're 11-19. They're 11-19. They're on pace to go. Can we get a six pack here? I'm sorry, Limits. Let's make this. Thank you, Bob. We need that, don't we?
We need, you know, I would like a martini. It's actually that serious.
Yeah. I mean, Ron is 13 deep already in Fort Myers. The least we can do is crack two. Thank you. Not one, but two right away. They're on pace to go 59-103, Bob. They've been outscored in their last three games. What is it, 26-8, 28-6? Something ridiculous. He's in his sixth year. After 30 games in his first year, which was the shortened year, they were 9-21. Okay, so they're a couple games ahead of that. They've been 13-17, 13-17. The one year they started 20-10 which was a fraudulent start during which they extended Shelty and told nobody how long the extension was for. But that was in the middle. That their 20-10 record was at the start of a 7-game losing streak in which they lost 11-12 and never recovered. And last year they were 14-16. So if you're Bob Nutting, sitting wherever you're sitting right now, what are you looking at? What are you doing? Honestly, there were 8 managers hired when you hired Shelty that year, 2020, or maybe 6. All of them are gone except him. You're on pace to win 59 games. You're off to yet another crappy start. You're 7 games off the division lead. You're 5.5 and many teams before the wild card. And guess who has the 3rd wild card, Bob, I might add? Terry Francona.
Cincinnati Reds.
And the Cincinnati Reds. And that's the move you, Bob Nutting, should have made in the offseason. And I'm not saying it would have made a huge difference because the bigger problem is Charrington. The biggest problem is Nutting.
Correct.
But I'm sorry. The manager has to go.
I think at this point, yeah. I mean, based on how things have gone. But again, I would not. This is a blame that goes around 3 different places, starting with the owner. To me, if I'm going to put a pecking order of how this works, Nutting, Charrington, Shelton.
Right.
And I agree with your thesis here that no matter who the manager is, you're not going to win games when you have a roster that's flawed in so many ways. You have to have more people, and that's on the owner when you don't have draft picks. And how many draft picks over the 6 years has Ben Charrington see develop into a starter in this lineup?
All right, well, let me ask you this,
I mean,
Bob.
Other than Paul Skeens, which was obvious, who else? Who else has turned out to be?
Nobody has developed here.
Gonzalez is in.
Joey Bart, I guess.
But nobody homegrown. I'm talking about homegrown.
Nobody. Shelty has Tommy Pham in the lineup again last night.
0 home runs, 6 RBIs.
Tommy.
I don't blame him. I blame them. They should have known what he was.
I don't blame him. No, of course not. He takes the money.
Sure.
The same as Jeremy Burnitz and Lonnie Chisenhall and everybody else. Tommy Pham is batting 178, and then they bring in the canary in the coal mine, who's batting .074, Canario. Triolo's at 179.
Gorski had the home run in his first at bat, and then it's interesting to me.
And then
he got no rhythm. Right, but he got sat down, just as I said to you a few weeks ago. Remember,
right.
Henry Davis went 2-for-4 with a home run. I know the next game's a day game, but he should have been, just ride him a little bit, see what happens.
And then Reynolds is off to yet another crappy start where he strikes out looking with the bases loaded 0-for-4, batting .227. But yes, we can talk all day about how Bob Nutting's the problem. Let me ask you this, Bob. They're 11-19. Would they have 2 or 3 more wins with a manager who was making different moves, different lineups? Not getting guys thrown out at third or sending guys who shouldn't be sent to home? Are there 2 or 3 more wins in there where suddenly your record looks a little more respectable, a little closer to the wild card spot with a different manager? I'd say yes.
Out of 30 games, though, 2 or 3 may be a bit much. I think over the course of the season, I've talked to other managers in the game who said a manager is worth about 5
I don't believe
to 7
that.
Wins
I
a
mean,
year.
Well, maybe in the end. But in this dire situation, I could point out examples of games they would have won.
He's also
with a different manager.
With an offense that can't do anything. And I know he's an offensive coach. He's a batting coach by nature.
Yeah.
But you only have to deal with what you have to deal with, too. They don't have a lot of
clearly
talent there.
But you don't agree with a lot of his lineups or his bullpen usage or his accountability.
Finally, O'Neill Cruz is in the leadoff spot and just leave him there for the rest of the season.
Yes.
It should be O'Neill Cruz, Reynolds, McCutcheon, and whatever.
I think there are 3 or 4 games that could have been won
bullpen,
with a different manager already.
Also that's where he's made some moves that didn't need to be made.
And what did we talk about yesterday, Limits? About him saying he didn't know the other night about something.
About Rebelgo sending Joey Bart home and being thrown out by a mile. Mike Rebelgo, Bob.
Yeah, Bob, what about Rebelgo?
Who was the other guy?
Who hired Rebelgo?
And
Rick Gofield.
Gofield.
They don't know the meaning of the word stop, Bob. But listen to this from the other night.
They might have to put a prop in there right at third base, a stop sign, Bob, to let them know.
Bob, the other night, Joey Bart tried to score from third on a shallow fly ball by Tommy Pham. Okay? And then it was unclear, wrote the Beeswhacker, Colin Beasley, if Bart went on his own or if he was sent by Mike Rebelgo. And here's the key from the Beeswacker story the next day. And he was one of the only people out there covering the team. Shelton wasn't sure either. "I don't know on that," Shelton said. "I don't know what happened." End of quote. Bob, he's the manager. How does he not know what happened by the end of the game? He should have been up on the top of the dugout in somebody's face.
Absolutely. That's one of those that's on them for sure. That's not.
Well, it something. Almost sounds like you're defending this guy.
I'm not defending him. I'm saying my pecking order of blame goes Nutting, Charrington, Shelton.
But let's just talk about Shelton. I agree with you.
Fine.
Bob Nutting is the problem. Yes.
Absolutely. That's my pecking
let's
order of problems.
Let's just talk Shelton.
If should you do he? Shelton, then you should do Charrington.
Fine.
If you're going to do it both, then do them both.
I agree with that. But let's just talk Shelton. Should he go?
Well, if you're, again, I'd go with both of them. I'd go with entire staff. The problem is they're not going to do it now because it's midseason. If they
right.
do it, they'll do it at the end of the season.
So would I. But again, should they fire Shelton? Yes
this
or
week?
No? Now.
Yes.
I agree.
But I said this last week that both should be. I mean,
I agree with you.
But you can't, if you disrupt the entire chain of command there with all new, it's already a mess. It'll be worse. So I don't expect
how
that.
How can it be worse?
I'm talking about Charrington too.
Oh, well, how can it be worse? They're 11-19.
I'm talking about when you bring in a whole new staff of scout. I don't know who they'd get rid of. Who would take over as the GM in an interim role?
I don't know. But if we just whittle it to should they fire the manager, then I think we're all saying yes, Limits, you're on board.
I'm on board.
There's no joy here in doing this.
No.
But I haven't ever seen a coach.
Okay, but what would your
ever,
prediction
may,
be?
Maybe in the history of sports who has lost this prodigiously and kept his job.
He shouldn't keep his job. But what my point is, whoever you bring, all right, it'll be...
I know.
On the
I know that.
Okay, my point, what will change?
I'll tell you what will change, and I'm glad you asked. All the things we're talking about.
You know that? You think that's going to change immediately?
Maybe Terry Francona walked into a similar situation. They're sitting there at 16-13. Maybe key moves in the bullpen. Maybe
more talent in Cincinnati.
Maybe your development of lineups.
I understand all of that,
maybe,
and I agree with it.
Maybe accountability.
But
maybe,
if you think that's going to turn a season around with this group, I don't think that's possible.
Different question. Do I think they're going to win the World Series? No. Do I think they could win more? Then don't get rid of him. Then just keep him if you think nothing's going to change.
I think it's going to change at the end of the year. You're asking me what I think will happen. They'll do it until the end of the year.
Unless
they get so much pressure that they do it now. But they strike me as a group that will wait till the end of the year.
Well, me
now,
too.
They changed that with Hurdle. When did Hurdle and Huntington get it? Was it at the end
of the
year?
Year.
Yeah,
19.
No, I mean the year after the season was
no,
over.
Hurdle
it
was the last
the
game of the year.
Yeah.
But it was essentially at
essentially,
the end of the year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We could talk about a million things and whose fault at the top and everything else.
CB58 on Twitter says, when is Tommy Pham's bobblehead day?
It's the day after Jack Sawinski bobblehead day.
Yeah, it'll be a guy striking out. This is a disaster, Bob, and I just want to talk about the manager right now. About the manager at 412-928-9370. So are you telling me that with another manager, because you have registered complaints about the lineups he puts out.
Yes, the bullpen.
The players he puts on the field, the way he manages the bullpen, and the way they run the bases, and the lack of accountability.
All of it, yes.
You don't think improvements in all five of those areas could bring them more wins?
How many more wins?
I don't know, but more
but
wins?
Again, improvement in the sense you have the same group of players also.
Yeah.
Who are prone to make these mistakes over and over.
Yes.
And before you blame Shelton for every one of them, these are major league players who should know better than some of the stuff they've done.
Right. The silly fundamental errors are the players' fault. The fact that they aren't held accountable for them is the manager's fault.
That's totally different.
No, it's a related.
Well, I mean, I would, first of all, I've said this to you before. If I'm a manager of a baseball team, or for that matter, any team, I have one simple rule that I will make sure everyone knows loud and clear. If you don't bust your butt, you're not going to play. I don't care who you are.
Does Shelton employ that rule?
No.
There you go.
Apparently not.
There's another complaint you have about it.
But I also will say that about every manager in the majors right now. I watch games every night, Joe, when we're down there at KDK TV. I see guys jogging on ground balls, assuming that the major league shortstop is going to make the play.
Right.
When, in fact, he bobbles it, and because he lollygagged it, we've seen O'Neill Cruz do this. But we've seen a lot of players in baseball do it. It's understood. It's stupid.
That doesn't mean it has to be understood here. I thought the idea here was
to... But do you agree that you see it everywhere? You see it. If you watch, you'll see guys just kind of jog down to first base on routine ground balls.
But I also saw the Yankees bench Torres last year
for
lollygagging. That's the Yankees.
They should. Rule would be, if you do that, you're not going to play. Just understand it. Don't come to me and cry afterwards.
Does Shelton have that rule?
Apparently not.
Right. How do you like his lineups? You don't.
I don't.
How do you like the way he manages his bullpen? You don't.
I don't.
How do you like the way they run the bases?
My question to you is, you make a change there. Tell me how many wins we're talking about
more.
On a team. Okay, more.
More.
It may lead you to, instead of 100 losses, 98 losses.
Two less.
Okay. You get my point, though. Come on.
Of course I do, Bob. No, a new manager isn't going to lift this team to great heights. That's different than the question of, does this guy, is he doing the job? No. That's all I need to know.
Okay, no, I agree.
Then we can answer all the other questions later.
If you're going to make one firing, I would make two.
But so would I.
And I'm going to do it at the end of the year because nothing's going to change between now and then. You may say two or three wins.
Maybe more. I don't know. Maybe more. Maybe when this team has Chandler and Jones, if it does, Chandler, Jones, Skeens, Keller, and Heaney at the top, although Heaney wasn't great last night.
But how about him being a starting pitcher? You go through 11 batters. You get the first 11 out. You're in the fourth inning. Or fifth inning, whatever it was, and it's still scoreless. You don't have any offensive support. It does change the way you pitch, you know. I mean, when you have zero runs to work with.
Well, that's fine, but they didn't score a run. They weren't going to score a run if the game had gone 4 days. This has reached the end. It's way past the end. And I don't know what a new manager would do. I don't know. You say Terry Francona went to the Reds and they have
more talent. I think they have
like significantly roster. More talent?
I think throughout the whole system, yes.
Well, no, I'm talking the team that Francona manages compared to the team that Shelton manages. There's a gigantic difference there.
I didn't say gigantic. I said it was a better roster.
Okay, but the Reds are in wild card spot, and the Pirates are 11
right,
and 19.
And the Reds are 16 and 13, one streak away from being under 500. I mean, early in the season, look at all these records. These teams don't separate until you get into like late May, early June.
I mean, I'm looking at this record. I'm looking at the start one guy got off to with a team that has been underachieving year after year and the start that this team is off to. This is a disaster. And even, you know what? Even if it doesn't work, the change needs to be made.
You have to do something at some point.
The Pirates and the Reds finished one game apart last season. One.
Right.
Would you have hired Terry Francona this offseason?
I told you yes.
Me too.
I told you if I had to do it, I would have gotten rid of both guys now or at the end of last year and started new. And I would have made every pitch for Terry Francona, and I would have offered him more money than I think I probably had to just to get him here. He also had to make a choice. I don't even know did they approach him at all? Do we know if they had talks with him?
I don't think they did. No.
Well, that's
now there
that's
was the history. There was the history of Charrington and Francona as well. To which I would have said, all right, I choose Francona.
Me too.
The six-pack is ruined, Bob.
But no,
that's
not.
No, it is, but that's okay because this is the story of the day. I was sitting around last night with a bunch of people at my house because they had people's power were out, so they came over. And saying, like, we all agreed, it was a pathetic sight, and I realized the circumstances here of the storm and everything. But watching the end of that game, a 9-0 game with nobody in the stands and feeling just hopeless. And for all of us, the feeling was like the coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, of this team. How is this still happening? And how is tomorrow, which is now today, not the day that you make a change? Limits? I don't get it.
Well, I don't know if it's because they're in the middle of this home stretch and they want to play it out for the rest of the series. I personally think the thing should have been completely different in the offseason, and it should have been a complete 180 of everything that's happening now.
It should have. At the end of 5 years, that's the time they should have made a deal.
You could have made the argument that this could have happened 2 years ago, but I digress.
Well, why are they an exception? See, all across sports, well, baseball, let's talk baseball, but it could be hockey, it could be something else. When teams underachieve year after year and then get off to a horrific start in a season, every coach manager I've ever known is then on the chopping block.
Right. And it's
why are we inventing reasons why this guy isn't?
It's basically made this season a lost year already, and it's April 30th, the final day of April in this season, with elite Paul Skeens and O'Neill Cruz playing at MVP level, is now over if you don't do anything by the middle of May on
and
a winning
streak.
See,
that's another reason why if we went back and looked at what we said back then, not only would the management team and coaching staff would have been changed, that was also the time, and this is why I put Bob Nutting number one on the list. They had Paul Skenes. They knew he was a Cy Young potential winner here.
Yes.
And they did nothing.
Derelict of duty.
So all of it, it's the entire management team, top to bottom. I mean, they've not taken advantage of a guy who's a generational player. And that is the bottom line of everything.
Yes. Agreed.
Fangraphs currently gives them a 3.8% chance of making the playoffs. They have to go 74-58, according to North Shore 9, to get the 85 wins.
Yeah.
74-58.
Think about that. Last year, the number was 89 for the last wild card. They'd have to go 78-54. Think about that. Think about how unrealistic that is.
It's just not going to happen. And that's they're already behind the eight ball. They put themselves behind the eight ball. And if everything's true that, well, I mean, maybe they'll make a move. They just want to see what the sample size is going to be. Bob Nutting, yeah, it's time to win. I've given you everything necessary. Then why not have made the move already?
I still believe it might happen. And I don't know, this is just a gut feel that I started having last night. Nothing, hard and fast info or anything. That when they take the field tonight, they'll have a new manager. I mean, this is... How is this possibly acceptable?
I wonder what the odds of that are. That'd be interesting.
Not high. They're going to wait for an off day or something like that.
I agree that they need something to change this or at least try to. But based on how they operate, if it's going to happen, it'll happen at the end of the season, and it'll be a blanket kind of change.
Oh, I agree. I don't think it should happen necessarily. I don't think it will happen necessarily. I think it should. And I just have that funny feeling that it could. It could by tonight's game or this week at the end of this homestand, Bob, something.
Well,
Mackey wrote today, as the Pirates' hole deepens, how much longer can Bob Nutting afford to wait? But he never says really wait to and do what? I don't see here about firing the manager. Maybe I'm misreading. Maybe both. Maybe him and Charrington. They should go at the same time.
They missed this offseason should have played out this way. They should have changed everything. If I'm Bob Nutting, I say, look, I've given you guys 5 years. Thank you for your service. I'm moving on into a different direction. On top of that, you tell the new team coming in, the new GM and manager, I am going to invest more heavily. I have to. I have a guy who's a general. That's just common sense. And winning more than anything else, more than any promotional vehicle you have, whether it's fireworks, bobbleheads, anything else, winning is the number one thing that attracts people and makes them spend money. You could raise prices. You can go into that merchandise store and say, this hat is $50. People will buy it because they do. Winning is infectious. It's what drives everything else. This other stuff is just lipstick.
Yes. And Derek Shelton has lost, which last I checked is the opposite of win, more than almost any manager in the history of baseball. We're going back to guys like Crazy Schmidt. If it was the NHL, we'd be talking about one-eyed Frank McGee, and I still don't know how he played with one-eye limits.
Yeah, maybe a problem. One of my other points and problems is, does this team play hard for Derek Shelton? Like, does this team like Derek Shelton as their manager?
Please, with the play hard. I couldn't care less. What do you mean, do they play hard?
I wonder what the sentiment...
This is like the leadership thing with Tommy Pham. You know what I want on that team? I want a bunch of jerks. I want a bunch of unlikable jerks.
Who hit 300 and hit 30 home runs.
I'm completely okay with that.
Who don't listen to anybody if they feel like it.
Listen,
give me home runs.
There is a place for that sort of if you have a really good team and you think that's you have young guys and you want to bring someone in, but you know you're going to be competitive, that's one thing. Leadership on a team that has nothing else doesn't mean anything. What are you leading?
I don't know how much it means anyway.
It means something.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. If you're on a very good competitive team with younger players.
Not in baseball.
I disagree. I think leadership in the right circumstance. It should not be the number one thing you got going for yourself.
It's the last thing I think about.
Right, but I want
a bunch of independent jackasses who don't listen to anybody who can play. You got that Bob Walk quote from when he was on with Sangrilli and the topic came up of, gee, isn't it time for somebody to tip over the food table and get in somebody's face? And Bob Walk talks sense to the entire planet with this. So you ready for what he said about leadership?
What I was getting at.
I get it, but my point is they're not in all circumstances. You can't have leadership and nothing else. You have to have talent.
It doesn't matter in baseball, in my opinion.
What I was getting at is that, you know how we talked so much about how Sullivan, the messaging, just needed a change? They just needed a change because they were just not listening to Sullivan. I feel like it's kind of similar with Joe.
I think
that's
it's so different in hockey and other sports where the coach is literally like choreographing the game through structure and system. The baseball manager sits on his ass and makes a bunch of multiple choice, decisions in a game. Now, he can hold people accountable, he could bench people, but to Bob's ultimate point here is they're not good enough. But as far as leadership goes, as far as having the 178 hitting Tommy Fail on your team, make him the manager then. Make him the manager tomorrow, a player manager, where he cannot put himself in the lineup ever. Let's hear Bob walk when this topic...
So when you bring in veteran leadership, bring in home runs and RBIs...
True.
That's I would much rather see that than somebody that's going to be a vocal leader in the clubhouse.
And this situation
God
is
bless
right.
Him.
But if you asked him, okay, if you have a very let's say you're the New York Yankees, okay,
yeah.
And you have young guys that you're relying on, and you bring in somebody who's been there, done that, you don't think that has an impact?
He was asked about it.
But he's talking about the Pirates.
No. They asked him about the Atlanta Braves teams that won.
And he talked about them being at the same lineup every single night.
But no, he talked about guy. I think it was Chipper Jones or Dale Murphy. I can't remember which one. I think it was Chipper, where it was, yeah, he didn't really say or do much. He wasn't – What he did was drive in runs and hit homers.
It goes without saying that you need talent. That's my whole point of this whole thing. They have not gotten enough.
And
their job is to draft it, develop it, and if not, buy it.
They have done
none of those things.
I agree.
So, but my point is, in this case, you're right. They don't need leaders. They need guys who are jerks.
Good
and
teams
come in.
Don't need it either. Look at the Red Sox teams that won.
Some teams
they were doing
in
shots
sports.
In the locker room.
Okay, fine. I concede. I'll go and take a shower. I'll be back.
No, he did say, now Walk did say like examples, like if you find a mentor.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that's
what
is like that?
It's an
end of one
mentor,
guy.
Leader,
like
it's
I play shortstop, so this guy, Jordy Mercer, could be my mentor.
Guess what? If you're a good player and you're older, you can help a younger player who hasn't gone through the experience.
Yes,
that's leadership.
Individual mentorships, I'll buy.
Mentor slash
guys
leader
walking
slash
through,
the same thing.
Guys walking through the locker room and getting in
that's
somebody's
not what
face.
I'm saying.
Hey, this is what we do around here, buddy.
This team doesn't need leaders. It needs players.
Yes.
Before you have leaders, you must have players. If
give
you have players, you can bring in a leader or a mentor.
Give me a team with no leaders. Give me a team with a bunch of jerks who hate each other's guts, like the A's in the 70s, like the Bronx Bombers.
Okay, fine, but what you're describing is talent.
Yes,
there's no talent,
right?
You know, compared to other teams.
And they were telling us before the season, oh, this is the year that Skeens wants to establish himself as a leader. He's a great player. He doesn't need to do anything else. McCutcheon's going to up the how vocal he is. And Tommy Pham is coming to town.
If you felt on a team that had Andrew McCutcheon that you needed more leadership, come on, he's supposed to be that guy. You don't need Tommy Pham to come in. You need someone who can play left field and hit 20 home runs.
I don't know. Is McCutcheon really interested in that role? I don't know
He is. He's a veteran who's been face of Pittsburgh Pirate baseball.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes him a leader. Someone who's been there, done that, could help other guys. And I'm sure those young guys will ask him questions that they can get answers from him, and they wouldn't get the same answer from managers or bench coaches.
Give me a bunch of jerks who hate each other's guts, and not one of them's a leader, and I'll win. But we have Tommy Pham hitting 178. All right, limits.
And Jack Sawinski in the minors, and Adam Frazier still here.
And, Sawinski was a budding leader. I felt he had leadership capability eventually.
They brought back Adam Frazier to be a leader for the infielders.
He hit 110, struck out. Who?
Adam Frazier to be a leader.
He's a leader.
That does not qualify. Yep. That qualifies as someone who didn't want to spend money and took whatever he could find in the bargain basement. All due respect to Adam Frazier. He's making money, good for him, but come on. That didn't need to happen.
No. No, it didn't.
There went our six-pack limits, didn't it?
Let's just take
I think we better chuck some
calls.
Of this because I'm getting to the
like
point
a three
now.
Pack.
412-928-9370. I mean, Bob, in the end, it just feels sad to me. Like, are you kidding? the season's over in April, and maybe it's not. Maybe they go on a run. Maybe at some point they do have Skeens, Jones, Chandler, Keller at the top of their rotation.
Let me ask you that.
I don't know, but they got to go seven. What'd you say?
74 and 58.
Just to get to 85.
Yeah, I know. That's not. But Chandler, that's another interesting question to me.
Yeah.
What does he need to do in AAA to get the call to come up here right now?
How is he doing now? I don't even know.
Can you look that up? I'll look it up.
Can you?
He's on the phone.
He's arguing on the phone with people. Bob, I'll let you look it up for a moment. I don't even remember what you just said.
The people are angry, Bob. I'm trying to field their phone calls.
Are they angry at Bob? Or
no, they're not angry at Bob. They're angry at the team, yes.
Okay, hold on. So Bubba Chandler's, let's see what his numbers are here.
Can we go to the phones, limits?
Go ahead. I'm trying to find this as I go. So, you know, you do this all the time, Joe.
No,
you
Bob, just
made
pipe
fun of
in.
Me.
I did not.
You just did. Can we go to the phones, limit? Come on.
No, I
That's
didn't.
That's a shot at me.
Bob,
what are you doing?
Can we go to the phones, limits?
I'm trying
limits?
To get answers for
limits.
You.
There can we go to the phones?
There was silence on the air,
yeah,
Bob.
Because,
I'm getting uncomfortable.
You don't think I face silence with you all the time?
I know.
You can
look
straight in
the
window.
Well, you should just go to the phones.
My goodness.
I don't know what to do.
Joe's looking at the TV. Bob, look at this 5-foot birdie that Roy McIlroy just made. What a shot, Bob. Bob, I don't think I'm going to make that when I go on the golf course today. I'm going to throw my club at Moon. I hope nobody yells at me.
Limits, let's take a phone call.
Here is Tom in the car wants to talk about Shelton.
Maybe Bob will pipe up if he ever finds this number. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great discussion. Joe, I'm worried you're going to have a heart attack after this game today.
After
that game last night.
You can't have that.
But great discussion today. One point about the Storms, charging the car and the phone, and I'm like, oh, I'll listen to the Pirates game, see what's going on. That was brutal, to say the least. But, no, I think firing Shelton and shaking the box a little bit, I just don't think the players respect him. And I get your leadership point, Joe, but, like, no one's going to try for that guy. Get a guy off the street. Make McCutcheon the player coach, whatever it needs to be.
See, I don't think the problem is trying, and I think by and large they do give Shelton an effort. The problem is on the rare occasion that there's a lack of effort, he doesn't hold anybody accountable, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, that's. But again, he's facing a roster that doesn't have many answers to it anyway. By the way, thanks for the call. How about these Bubba Chandler stats here? He's 1-0 with a 1.33 ERA and 5 starts.
Yeah.
20 innings, 27 strikeouts, a 0.64 whip.
Call him up.
He pitches tonight against.
He should be pitching tonight here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Here. I don't. Majinski, which he should be in the bullpen.
Oh, my God. You're right. Today should have been and should be the day. Chandler should be on his way to Pittsburgh. They should have a new manager, maybe a GM. And Bob Nunning should liven the place up here. And
he's done enough in AAA, I would say.
Yes.
5 starts.
Get him up here. Do something. Somebody do something. Please. We're just going to sit here and have this unfold?
It's Skeens Day tomorrow. How do you think that's going to go?
They've
with
been
like 10 people in the stands on a day game against the Cubs, a division rival, the team that's leading the division. First time you get a chance to play them.
Man, do they smack
and
the
ball
And
they smoked
around.
You.
They've been outscored 100 to nothing in the last 3 games. Now the people are getting 8-9 runs. They don't score. They've been shut out 6 times. They're 11-19. They've lost 3 in a row. They're off to another crappy start. Nobody goes to the games. People are either apathetic or livid. They've had other PR nightmares this season. They're on pace to lose 103 games. The season's basically over. Do something, please,
Bob. I think if you ask Rabs, I mean, inadvertent send, I mean, he would take that one back.
Remember the old inadvertent send, Bob, by Rebelgo? He didn't know he sent the guy. It was like the old Saturday Night Live character who couldn't stop his leg. You remember that?
I do.
He just waves his arms and people keep going around the bases, even if it's Joey Bart on a fly ball to shortstop practically. Oh, my God, Bob.
Take a deep breath, Joe. It's a beautiful day outside. People are cleaning up. There are bigger problems that we're facing here.
I can't take it anymore. I really. What do you think Skeens thinks deep inside of this debacle?
I think, you know, he strikes me as a guy who just knows exactly what he takes it day by day. He strikes me as someone who has a respect for everything. He's just going to do his thing knowing that he can't do much other than what he's doing, and he keeps it very focused. I don't down deep, he's probably saying, I'm not going to be here very long. I'm just going to put up.
He strikes me as a guy who doesn't want to put up with a lot of BS
and
who wants to compete And the longer this goes on,
is what he does. I think he's of the mind that that's all you can do.
The longer this goes on, he also strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to speak up and say, "Why aren't we competing out there to get players?"
And he'll do it in a way that's understated, but the message will be delivered.
Yes, he will.
He's not going to throw over table like Jim Leland.
No, but he's going to speak his mind.
He'll do it in an understated way.
And
he's already done that,
Bob. Did you see what he said to SI?
When he talked, was this recently?
Yeah, not about the team, about himself. He. I'll get you the quote in a minute. May I take a moment to look it up? We'll just sit silently while that happens.
See, I would respect that, Austin. I would never admit to the people that he is doing. I would have filled the time graciously. I would not have sat here and said, "Oh, I guess we'll take a call."
Limits. We have to go. It's 10:40, and Bob's overtime. Bob's taking up all the time again.
Bob, come on, we gotta go, Bob. Come on, Joe.
Oh, yeah. All right, Bob. Talking about Derek Shelton, our six-pack rapidly turned into a Shelty discussion, a Pirates discussion, as they sink to 11-19, getting blown out every single game of late, and it's just a total unmitigated disaster. It truly is, and it's all, you know, opinions aside, I don't think this is an opinion. I think it's a fact that it's remarkable that this manager is still here.
Yeah, I mean, you look around sports in general, you see guys losing their jobs when, you know, they've achieved far more than what the Pirates have achieved. So
yeah,
it's just about, again, it comes down to Bob Nutting, whatever he thinks is acceptable or not. And if he thinks this is acceptable in year number six, and I think we've been fair enough with Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton. I like both of those guys, but they have a responsibility in year six to have more than what we're seeing. It's a results-based business. Therefore, the results have to be front and center. And you don't have to win divisions. You're not going to compete with the Dodgers. I get all that. But what you have to do is put yourself in a position to improve every year and be at least a contender until sometime beyond April.
Limits, let's go to the calls.
All right, let's go to David. He's in Cannonsburg. Wants to chime in on the Buccos.
Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I appreciate Joe's passion on what's been going on, because I just think we're really at a breaking point, with the Pirates, with the fans. I want to touch real quickly on a couple of the topics before really getting into how this is really affecting, you know, people like myself. I think Shelton, the Chandler issue, they're more symptoms of what's, you know, the main problem with the organization and really with how it's been for the last 30 plus years. Managers, it's hard for them at the major league level to actively contribute to winning games, but they can definitely lose games with the decisions. And I think Shelton, you know, over the first 30 games of the season has cost them, you know, about 3 or 4 wins. And a competent manager will hopefully not, you know, bring the team down and at least let them be in contention. You know, the talent's not there, but they should be at least, you know, in contention into the summer, which he just doesn't do. The Chandler, you know, he's rightly or wrongly, I think they're viewing him as getting stretched out to be able to pitch, you know, 5, 6, 7 innings in the majors. You know, he spent most of last year in AA.
Bob, are you buying that? That they're stretching out Chandler to pitch 5, 6, 7 innings?
I think he's already done that, hasn't he? He has 5 starts. He has 20 2/3 innings. So I mean, that's 4-4. I mean, at some point,
I'll take that too. Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I think you could stretch yourself out regardless of what level you're talking about.
That didn't sound right, but yes, I agree, Bob. I think you can do that too. I think you can get 4. I'll take 4 or 5 innings. Limits, you?
I would imagine he's going to give you 5, 6 when he comes up here. I mean, he's done that in the minors.
He can stretch himself out all he wants.
That's right.
Next.
How does he need stretched out? Hasn't he been doing that over the first month plus?
Even if he hasn't stretched out, he's dominated.
Yes.
Without
right.
being stretched out.
Right.
So
no
just imagine
stretching.
If you stretch yourself out, what you can do.
Yes.
Zangrilli said, I think it was yesterday with the PM guys, that he would expect a similar arrival time for Chandler as Skeens had.
Yeah.
Skeens was May 11th. We're what? 12 days away, 13 days away from a potential debut of Chandler. Maybe they wanted to make it at home, so it might be a little bit later on. Here is JJ in the car.
Hi, JJ.
Hi, guys.
What's up, JJ?
First, I'd like to talk about Shelton. He's
he's good for at least 6 or 8 losses a year, just the way he handles the bullpen, his calls and that. And
Bob, do you agree with JJ's assertion that that's a reasonable number, 6 to 8?
I missed the part of JJ. What did you say again?
With Shelty's bullpen management.
Losing 6 to 8 games?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a lot. I think he has mishandled it. I do. I agree with you, JJ, but I don't know to the point of 6 to 8 games. That's a lot of games. And also consider they're operating on the slimmest of margins where they leave guys on base, and they're leaving a lot of guys on base. And when you do that, it's very difficult to overcome it.
Is he also implicated in that, Bob, considering that he cut his teeth in baseball as a hitting coach? Isn't he highly implicated in A, who he's hired as hitting coaches, and B, himself as a hitting coach?
Sure, absolutely. But when you have also veterans on your team like they do.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Reynolds has established himself. We know what we're going to get with him. He's a solid player, but he does get off to slow starts.
Man, does he?
I think if they had an answer to that, they'd fix it, but they don't. And that's mostly on him, I think. Same with any of the guys who've been around. How many young guys? That's where I would judge him. I would look at him and say, okay, Nick Gonzalez, when he up here, this is your guy. You drafted him. This is the development part of it. Let's see what you get from him.
Yeah.
I still wonder where Peguero is. Where is he?
Where is he, Limits? He's at AAA, I know.
He's in
AAA. Is he ever going to get a chance?
He was hitting 300 last time I checked last week.
And then they bring up Gorski. He hits a homer and has another great swing late in that game. And then he gets buried, Bob. Can you play a guy who looks like he's in some sort of rhythm? I realize it's rhythm is only as good as the next day's pitcher. But why bury him and then bring him back, and now he's in a tougher position having not played?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. If you're going to get something out of somebody and they show you something good for a game or two, just go with them a little bit. Forget the day-night stuff and all that other crap. That's another thing I don't like. If I'm going to have another pecking list of Derek Shelton, the lineups that are often driven by days off, when we have your best hitters getting days off and you know there's an automatic day off to follow the day off you're giving him, and you can say, well, he gets 2 full days. Well, I don't care. This is baseball. You're not out there getting, hitting ahead like hockey players are, like football players. You should play every day.
It's baseball.
The Atlanta Braves have done it every single day. And by the way, I told you guys, they were 0-7. People down there, they're now almost back at .500, and they're going to win that division, and they may win the World Series. That's how good they are. But they have the same lineup every day. They've played without Acuna. And here's the other thing. Can I get on a little tangent here?
Please,
with this?
Please.
You want to talk about smart moves. Matt Olson, they raided the A's back in a time when the A's were in sell-off mode. The Pirates, in their bargain basement hunting, should have gone there and get in that line. Go to the quick checkout service. Go to whoever's in charge of Oakland. They got Matt Olson for 8 years, $160-some million. That is a bargain for a guy who leads the majors since 2022 in RBIs.
Yes.
And then you have Acuna, who's up. He signed a deal way ahead of time. Michael Harris in center field. I think he's operating under, you can look this up, Austin, like an 8-year, $72 million. Austin Riley at third base.
Yes.
All of these guys are going to cash in bigger after this, but they were smart enough to identify guys. They brought them in. They signed them. At the time, it seemed like a lot of money, but it's really not now.
Plus, so, they got Sean Murphy, the catcher from the A's, too.
Sean Murphy, right.
He has 7 homers this year.
They went to Oakland, knocked on the door, and said, hey, we'll take everything you got. What do you want in return? The Pirates need to do stuff like that, and that means sometimes just departing your prospects who you cherish so much. You give up prospects to get guys who are well ahead of that curve, put them in the lineup, pay them now, and you'll end up saving money in the long term. And you got to be willing to do it, though.
That was a wonderful rant, Bob, and I agreed with every syllable you just uttered.
What about the half syllable?
Well, I like the checkout part, too, and it raises a question. I still have not mastered the self-checkout. Something always seems to go drastically wrong.
I hate it.
I get delayed. I have to call up somebody for help to come over.
You look idiotic. There are people standing behind you. You're costing them time. I did that the other day, and I couldn't figure it out. It says this item, go back. I had to retract it, and then I went backwards. It rang it up again.
That's exactly right.
And I said, Carl, who I know at Giant Eagle and Robinson,
Carl.
I said, Carl, help me. I yelled. I saw him. I didn't even buzz. I just, hey, Carl, help me. I don't know what I did. I got 2 for the price of 1, but it's reversed.
Which brings us full circle. Yeah, I'm the same. And then I realized at Giant Eagle, they want a Giant Eagle. It seemed like it was a prerequisite that you had to have a Giant Eagle card to do the self-checkout, which confused me.
We're all going to be victimized by AI and no more people.
It's
all going to be robots or computers, and we're just going to have to talk to them and understand their language, and you're forced to do it.
So oh, it's terrible.
I still go to the checkout clerk.
I do,
I want
too.
A person.
I'll
do you
stand,
limits?
I'll stand yeah. in a line that takes 10 more minutes
so, just will I.
so I can do it with a human.
Yeah.
My least favorite is when I call like customer service for anything, and they're like, it sounds like a real person. They try to make it sound like a person. I just go, representative, let me talk to somebody. And the computer says, I don't understand what you're saying. Let me talk to somebody. I don't want to hear any of this crap about you don't understand this, so you don't understand that. The robots drives me nuts. But yes, I do go to the self-checkout one sometimes. But typically,
that's surprising to me. I thought the younger generation was all about the self-checkout
typically,
line, Bob.
Typically, I will go to a person unless the line for a person is very long because some people don't like the self-checkout line. I only go there if I have like one item.
Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card. Barry contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years, but it is indeed time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Bob, do you have a guess on that?
Yes, my guess today would be Dalton Varsho, who made one of the best catches you'll ever see last night in center field for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Holy ant milk. I think it's going to be Derek Harmon, if he has a card yet. Limits?
I'm going to say Will Howard would be a good guest, but gentlemen, we just lost the general off the line. I have to call him back. Something just happened, and I have
power
to fix
outage.
It.
Bob, what's that sound? Are we on the air? Limits?
No, that's the machine going off in the background that says that there's a weather alert that it goes off in the back here,
no,
but it doesn't go over the air.
There's no weather alert today. It's going to be beautiful today. Tomorrow there will be another one of those, not today. I hang around with meteorologists.
All right, Bob.
I know what's going on. Winds aloft out of the south-southwest. We got winds at about 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow will increase to 30. And you should expect 50% chance of rain somewhere. It depends on where you are.
Very well done. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19. Peters
Township.
By the
way, can I give a shout-out to our weather team down there?
Yeah, yeah.
Ray Petlin.
Of course.
Kristen Emery, Mary Hours, all day. They were on the air a lot yesterday with updates. Even before all this happened, they were kind of warning people that it would. And so that's a hard, you know, when it, and I'm going to answer this question because people pose this on social media. The answer is we're obligated to do it. People wondered why we had soccer scheduled to be on KDKA.
Yeah.
Well, people complaining about why did you interrupt? So, well, because under FCC rules, if there is a tornado warning, watch, whatever, you must be on the air full time to go after it and tell people what it is because it's a life or death situation.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's an obvious thing, but people complained all the time about it. So just want to set the record
straight.
It just
makes sense. It just makes sense. All right, we have the general on the line. General, we have the guesses are in. Will Howard, Bob mentioned a baseball player, and I mentioned Derek Harmon if he has a
Dalton
card yet.
Dalton Varsho.
Dalton Varsho. Who do you got?
Gary Varsho's son.
I didn't know
Gentlemen,
that.
Good morning. I appreciate you having me today. The institution is under fire, but we're going with O'Neill Cruz this week.
Ooh.
O'Neill Cruz was on fire. He hit rocket after rocket all week, most of them at midnight, and everybody was in bed not watching. But I am also going to throw in a Caleb rookie card also. Harmon does not have a rookie card. Not yet. He will. Defensive linemen always get shorted. Skilled position players get cards first. We'll throw in a Will Howard also.
A Will Howard card. You're a wonderful man, General, and we appreciate you being on today. It's the card
Thanks
of the week. Thank you,
me.
Sir. I'm sorry
You're
it was
welcome.
So short and sweet. We'll talk to you next
no
week.
Worry. No worry. Thanks. Yep. Yeah, the O'Neill Cruz will be it's an autograph card, so we'll make that the primary card.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yep. Have a good week.
You nice. Do the same, General.
Nice man, Bob. No?
He really is.
How'd you enjoy your trip out there that day?
Oh, it was great. He was so hospitable, too. I mean, he was really nice about it, and I couldn't believe the amount of paraphernalia he has in there. Memorabilia signed, not signed, with every possible person you could think of.
It's just unreal out there at the Baseball Card Castle. So there you go, 93.7thefan.com's contesting page to try to win the cards of the week. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. Bob, you have a message for the Pompulus, but first, top of the hour, let's just go back to the six-pack. I've got 18 topics in front of me. Jerry
Top
Dulac.
Top of the hour, we're going to have to go back because we're already past the top of the hour, but we get your
well,
point,
Well, we'll retroactively go back to the top of the hour.
This is the third base coach with the green light. He goes through every stop sign there is.
The
and
quarter
just,
of the hour.
You can
you
add,
are
you
Mike
can,
Rebelgo. You can You're
add,
Mike Rebelgo.
No, you can add me to the list. We have Rick Gofield.
Yep.
We have Goey Cora. We have Mike Rebelgo. And now we have Go Starkey. There we go.
Goey Starkey.
Goey Starkey.
You're Goey. Joey. He's you're gone. Goey. Gotcha, Goey.
Bob.